And by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know. The faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So now what? If you're Peter and John, Jesus is raised, Jesus leaves, the Holy Spirit comes upon you in a way that draws a crowd to you because this 4 weeks from today we'll celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit comes and they are given power to speak in languages they didn't know before, and the crowd thinks they're drunk, and the crowd comes around, and Peter, every time a crowd comes around, is starts to preach. At the end of that time, a community forms, people are baptized, and we find out that folks are living together in some kind of community where they take care of one another. But there must be something that comes next that you're supposed to do after all that happens to you. That's pretty big stuff. Your friends raised from the dead, you have powers you didn't have before, you formed a community because of this person who's raised from the dead. There must be something next to do. But they don't, necessarily. There's no business startup that takes place. They don't go on a fundraising campaign. Okay? They don't need the fundraising campaign because they figured out some way they can just be together and have stuff together. So, what do? They go back and they do what they do every day. In fact, the little bit of Acts that we get this morning is, it's the second scene, or the second act in a story that's already started, which starts with the phrase that Peter and John went to the temple to pray as they did every day. They didn't change the way their lives happened or were ordered. My guess is they still went to work every day. They didn't have this great, magnificent revelation about Jesus, and then all of a sudden they said, well, you know, I can't do what I did before. I can't dig ditches. I can't, like, paint houses. I can't go fishing. Oh, actually, you know, they still do go fishing all the time. They're doing all the stuff they did before. I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, I'm sure you can. There's probably been some of it in your life that you thought, like, this happened to me, and now I got to make a change. I can't do what I did before. In fact, Peter and John actually just keep doing what they did before. And the story starts, they went to the temple to pray as they did every day. Not new. Not novel. Not like they turned over a new leaf after they saw the risen Christ. But it's doing what they do. And while they're doing what they do on this particular day, they come into a man who, you can imagine, is sitting outside this temple complex in Jerusalem, and text tells us that this person has been there for many, many years. He's been crippled from birth, and he's making a living. The only way you can make a living in the ancient world, and oftentimes in our own world, if you have some kind of disability, he's just asking for people to give him money. And when Peter and John encounter this man, they say, you know, we don't have any money to give you. And I don't know if it's true that they actually don't have any money, but Peter says, I got something that I will give you. I'm going to give you the name of Jesus. And he gives the man the name of Jesus. And this crippled man stands right up. And the text doesn't say he walks. It says he leaps and praises God. So he is now leaping around this temple complex, this person who has been begging money from everybody who's there each day. And then it tells us that he comes and he hangs on Peter and John. He is literally like jumping around and now hanging on them. And of course, just like the story before this, in the story of Pentecost, a crowd starts to form. And the verse that we don't get is, right here at the beginning, is that it says that the crowds begin to stare at Peter and John. So where we pick up the story, it says, why do you stare at us? As though by our own power and piety, we made him walk. Now, something is different about Peter become so pious that he has this. In fact, he rules that out right off the bat. He said, you're staring at us because you think we have prayed so hard, or because we've gotten some new healing power, you are off the mark. That's not what happened here. So what I say, like, if it's not power and piety that gives somebody this ability, then what is it? Because it seems to be the things that we encourage in the truth. What one is, the power, the tap of that encouraging spark of the Holy Spirit that we all find inside of us, that enables us to sometimes do things we haven't done before. So I would say that's power. Or you could probably stop counting how many times you've been told to pray harder in your life, or be more pious, or develop another system for knowing your spiritual self better. But Peter and John there say, one power, and it wasn't piety that made this man walk. It was something else. Now, I think the reason we like power and piety are these are two things that we can quantify or metric. You know, I like power and piety because they are things that I can make checklists about. And I can always do better. And I can always pray more. And I can always rely more or search deeper inside of me for the Holy Spirit. So I would like for it to be power and piety. But it's not. And the answer that Peter gives is very strange, I think. And I'm not sure I totally understand it. And I've been wrestling with it for weeks as I prepared for this. He says, this man walks for one reason. Jesus' name. Since Jesus' name is the reason that this man can walk. Not my piety, not anybody's piety, not anybody's power. It's the name of one individual. And he does unpack this for us a little bit, because when you say name, I mean, it's not name as in some kind of incantational, magical sense. I think it's a name as though these are the king's woods. Don't hunt the deer here. That name means that something belongs to something else. He's saying in the name of Jesus, that name, the authority of that name, means that this man belongs to him. And that belonging has made him well. And so what's different about Peter? Now, isn't necessarily that Peter has become more powerful through the Holy Spirit. It's not that Peter has become more pious. In fact, he's doing what he did every day already. It's that he has had a change of perspective of what the name of Jesus means and the authority that the name of Jesus carries. And he tells them what he had rejected and they had rejected and must accept. And he tells them what they killed and they need to make live. And he tells them what they had witnessed and what they need to proclaim. Because he tells them, you know, you rejected Jesus, and we all did, as being holy and righteous. And that's church language, which just means, holy just means devoted to God. And righteous means having the quality of God. And when we encountered Jesus originally, we didn't get this about it, but now we do. When you encountered it initially, you rejected it, and so did we, but now we accept it. We know that there's something about the person of Jesus, and this is partly why imbues him with the authority that he has, is that he is devoted to the project of God and has been imbued with the righteousness, the quality, the character of God, that quality that is one of mercy and gentleness, beneficence, and a quality or characteristic that lacks avarice and self-seeking. We know that about Jesus now, and we rejected it before. And we now know that Jesus, in all of the things that he did, had life as his first priority. In fact, he calls him the author of life, or if you read other translations, the founder of life, the originator of life. All of the things that Jesus taught and teaches are things that lead to life. In fact, we often say in our church speak in the world that we want to look at the fruit that people bear. Well, there's really only one fruit when it comes Then finally he says, you know, God raised him from the dead. When we did all these things, God raised him. Which is to say, there was nowhere Jesus could be, that it could be further from what God could bring back to life. Peter said, I know that Jesus has the authority, and so that's what I have to tell folks. When I proclaim this, this man is alive because I have a changed perspective of who Jesus is. Because I have that change, I know that there's an authority of a longing that we each have that makes us whole again. And that's what made this man walk. So we're all encouraged and called to have the same change of perspective, because we've all had this. We've talked about having the encounter with the risen Christ. We did it here on Easter Sunday morning. Even as insane as that would be, we all have had the experience, or some way the Holy Spirit has come and has pricked our hearts. It's warmed us. It's given us the goal to do things. And the motivation